Welcome, everybody, to the Lifecast, our first remote episode, episode 78. I'm your host, Dion Manassian, here with Dan.
Yo.
Greg.
Yo.
And Tiffany.
Hey, yo.
And I want to give everybody, like, a round of applause for actually doing this podcast on Labor Day, because it's a lot to ask, really.
Is it, though? I know it's supposed to be a holiday or whatever, but it's like, it's not like Christmas or Thanksgiving. It's like, oh, hey, we have the day off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even have a job, so technically Labor Day isn't even a holiday for me.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I totally could have worked today. But, I don't know.
I couldn't have worked, but I have a job now, so.
Ooh.
Yeah. So what games did you guys play this week? I am going to talk about four.
Ooh, oh my.
And I think that's somewhat of a record for me.
All right, maybe we should like go in and out. So like, you talk about one, then throw it to somebody else, and then go back.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Okay. I'm going to save my like big one for last because I have a lot to say about it, and I want to make sure I have enough time to do so.
All right.
Which is Yakuza Kiwami, but we'll get there. I played 5 hours of Sonic Mania on stream. Well, just under 5 hours. I got very frustrated with, what was it? The underwater level? Like, the almost completely underwater one.
Yeah, fucking underwater. God.
Yeah. And I called it quits, like, 15 minutes before 5 hours. I could not do it. Especially after how much trouble Chemical Plant Zone gave me.
Oh my god.
Didn't want to do it at all. But I liked it. Yeah. I liked it a lot.
It's a really good game.
Yeah. I didn't think I would at all. So the fact that one, I like a Sonic game, and two, I like a platformer, I think it is a testament to how like okay this game is, at least. Then again, I do tend to like bad games. Music was very good. The second parts of each zone, and then all of Studiopolis.
Just Studiopolis fantastic. Is, like, my aesthetic.
Yeah, I love Studiopolis. It was probably my favorite stage that I played.
Mm.
Because of, like, the music, the colors, and the way you made your way through the level was really tied together, and just, it was a pleasant experience.
Yeah.
I don't know what else I can say about it.
Yeah, it's a... It just all comes together so perfectly. Like, I just didn't expect this game to be anywhere near as good as it was.
Yeah. Alright, someone else. Do you have a game you played?
Yeah, I've actually, the other day I randomly, on a whim, just bought the game Absolver. Which is this, it's kind of hard to describe. It's like a third-person martial arts thing. It's like a fighting game.
That's a good way to describe it, yeah.
The closest, like, relative might actually be a For Honor. And it's, like, the fact that it's like, it's a third-person, like, 1v1 focus game that's, like, surprisingly deep.
Yeah.
Like, and the sort of main shtick with this game is that you have the sort of ability to, like, customize your sort of, like, moveset in very, very in-depth. Like, there's, like, gotta be, like, around, like, 100 different just, like, strikes, and each one with different properties. Like, some, like, will, like, avoid high attacks, and some will, like, block, and some have, like, armor on them and stuff like that. And you can, like, and then, like, every attack leads into, like, 4 different stances, and the stances are just directional, so it's just, like, northeast, southeast, stuff like that. But, like, you can decide which moves can transition you into other stances so you can continue your combo and stuff like that. And it's pretty in-depth, it's pretty interesting, and also just sort of thematically, it's very, I don't know, it's, like, it's sort of very dystopian in nature. Like, all the clothing is tattered, and it's, like, it's very, like, what's the word? You guys see Doctor Strange?
No.
But
I saw parts of it.
Yeah, like this, like the standard like Chinese monastery thing. But it's like it's like if you took your standard monk style and like add a little bit of dystopia towards it, and that's like really the atmosphere and aesthetic. There's very little music. It's just all the sound of you punching people really hard in the head. And speaking of punching people really fucking hard in the head, this game has amazing sound effects. Every time you kill someone, their body just goes limp in the most satisfying way. It's fantastic.
That's really good. Yeah. I've seen a bit about Absolver. What do you think of, it's like, I had the words a moment ago. the student and mentor system. Have you gotten to do that at all?
No, actually. There's this, problem with the game's launch where, like, 90% of the people can't connect to the online. So I've just been doing, like, single player.
And how's that?
It's been pretty interesting. The AI seems pretty good. Although I can never tell who's gonna be a badass or not. There's no like obvious way. That's probably intentional. But you just look at a random schmuck and you're like, oh, I'm gonna whoop his ass in four hits, and then I end up having like just like 10-minute duels with just this random fucking NPC who crossed my path, and it's surprisingly satisfying. And then there's also so you start off with like a base kit, like there's like three martial art styles and they have sort of very basic moves, and you can gain additional moves by fighting other people and blocking or parrying them. By blocking it, you get like a little bit of like knowledge EXP, and by like parrying you get like a lot. So it's like you're strategically trying to like, ooh, you see someone with a cool move, and then like, and you stick with them, you know, you keep blocking and parrying and trying not to die, and so you could like master that technique and then add it to your move set. It's pretty interesting.
So you can pick moves from other like fighting types.
Yeah. So like I guess the defensive playstyle. I have the ability to just kind of like armor through an attack, and I sort of get white health, and I have the potential to like hit people and recover. And so generally the move set they started with has a lot of moves that like scale off strength. So the moves also have, it's also has RPG elements, which is something I don't really know how I feel about yet, because I feel like it'll end up like limiting the different styles a bit too much. Based on what kind of build you have, but that's I'm nowhere near deep enough to be making. I just suspect it'll end up going that way. But I forgot what I was saying. So you learn the techniques, and you can add it to your repertoire.
And can you combo between different styles also?
Yeah. Your sort of main style picks like your main defensive option. So like when you pick the three styles, it gives you like. Base, it gives you like a base set of like attacks, but like the attacks themselves don't belong to any school. It's just like they, like this school probably has higher dexterity, and these moves have higher dex scaling, and they're generally faster, and they look more like cool and Chinesey if it's like a part of like the more dexterous school. And if it's just called punch a dude in the head, then it's probably my style, you know.
Because that's the thing I was curious about, like, if each style had limits on what moves they could do, or exclusive moves.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem that way.
No, like, if I wanted to, I could have taken one of the cool things about the fact that it has RPG elements is that I could have started off as the sort of tankier fighting style, and then I could have spent all of my, like, level ups into dexterity, and then I could have had like an even more defensive playstyle off of having the defensive like stats and the defensive special move, but specializing in the sort of quick like jabby sort of playstyle of the dexterous thing. Like that like that possibility is opened up to you. It's a lot of fun.
All right.
Very interesting.
Yeah. I want to get my hands on it at some point, but I don't know if I'm going to before Ruiner comes out.
Yeah.
And I am looking forward to Ruiner more than I want to play Absolver. Yeah. So
it's also hard as hell. I just get my ass whooped all the time. It's like just every once, because like your main goal in like the first like land is to just like kill like 16 different bosses or some shit, and just every once in a while you'll just find one who just like is just gonna wreck your shit. And okay. Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Okay. At the second game I played. If you're done.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, cool. Yeah, the second game I played on stream Thursday night was Blood Bowl 2 Legendary Edition, which was the beta.
I've heard a lot about this game.
Have you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It's a sports game, so I don't know how I felt about it. There's a lot of mechanics, and it overwhelmed me.
Yeah. Blood Bowl is like, this is... That's all I can really say. Blood Bowl is something else. It's just like a super complicated like strategy game disguised as a sports game with like a dick load of RNG just everywhere. Yeah.
There's too much RNG. The AI games that I played like three and it took an hour and a half. I didn't leave the tutorial. I don't know how the online community is, but someone from it, like, stopped by my stream and was like, don't worry, you'll get it. No, I'm dumb as shit. I don't play games like this.
you can always tell, like, the most, like, hardcore and punishing games have, like, the sweetest people because they need people to play their game. So they can have people to beat. So it's just like, if you're getting... they'll just show up and be super welcoming just so,
yeah,
you know, they can meet you on ladder someday.
Yeah. But I like the medieval, like, skin to the sports game. I like the fact that the commentators were a vampire and, I think, like, a giant or something. an ogre.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. They made a lot of jokes about being a vampire and an ogre. It got kind of tiring. And I didn't really care about the game's lore. But this is a game. If you like in-depth strategy games, then try it. And another game I can say something really quickly about was Darkwood. I played it on stream a couple weeks ago. I don't know if I went really in-depth about it, but I at least revisited it a little bit, and I liked it. And I think I want to see where the story goes. Because typically, horror games aren't my digs at all. But the way that this one is done makes it just... like horror enough without having any jump scares to make me want to play it. Yeah. It's top down survival. And you have like certain things that you should be doing throughout the day. And then like a couple of things you should be doing at night. And one of those is keeping the lights on, which is like, wow, people do this in a horror game. But I like it a lot. I like its aesthetic. I like its mechanics.
Yeah, I was just pulling up images of it. Looks really cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. And I kind of want to know where it's going to go. So, and then I think Acid Wizard, I was reading today, just released it as a torrent, like completely unmodified, completely free, for people who can't afford it.
Yeah,
because they want people to play their game. Go play their game.
Yeah, I heard about that. I didn't know what game it was, but I just saw, like, the headline. It was just, like, indie dev releases free torrent of game for people who can't afford it. And that's just... That's honestly smart. Like, they got a headline for it. They get, like, they get good vibes from the gaming community. And the gaming community, at least on PC, it's filled with people who understand that games are expensive to make. And so there are, like... a whole bunch of people who will just buy your game out of, like, respect and just, like, just to, like, give you props, so...
Yeah.
I
want to buy a copy to give away later.
Yeah.
Just because I got my key for free through, like, one of those key mailer websites that do, like, review copies or whatever. But I want to put my money towards this game, and I want to have, that go to someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to pay it forward, because they've been working on this game for 4 years, so please support Acid Wizard Studios.
Yeah, please support just indie devs in general. Don't be like me. Don't see an indie game for like $15 and be like, damn, that's just way too much. Please.
Sometimes it is.
No, yeah, I know. It's just something. This is a whole other thing that's been bothering me for a while, where it's just like, after I became a PC gamer, I just couldn't buy games for full price, no matter how much they deserve it or anything like that. Like,
yeah, it still hurts buying a game for $60.
Yeah, but it, like, it didn't use, like, even, but, like, it literally happened once I came to PC. Like, when I was a console gamer, I would buy a game $60 the day they came out all the time. Now it's like, I played Hollow Knight, and that's, like, one of the best games I played this year, and I played Pyre, both games that are not 60 that probably deserve it way more than other $60 titles. And, you know, every time I went to go buy them for, like, their $20-$25, I hesitated. I was like, I don't know if I should wait for a sale or something. And it's just, I don't know. It feels bad, man. I just, like, I wish indie devs could sell their games for more than, like, a quarter of what they're worth.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have games they played before I get into Yakuza?
I have played some.
Okay, go for it.
All right. So, I have been sick in various forms for the past, like, week and a half.
That
so,
sucks.
I just played a lot of shit. The past, like, 2 or 3 days, I played more Digimon Story, Cyber Sleuth, and, like,
okay.
I've finally come to terms with the fact that it's just a really, really okay game, and the only reason I play it is so I can make cool-ass Digimon. That said, there's a lot of cool-ass Digimon. I just made Infermon, a.k.a. I fucked up the Internetmon. It's great.
Okay. What does he do? What is his business?
He was the main villain in the Digimon movie. He destroyed the Internet.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. He broke the Internet.
Yeah, that movie was my shit. I don't know, like, still I watched that movie so many times. Like,
yeah.
There's something about it, man. Omnimon is just so dope.
Yeah. I'm hoping to get Omnimon soon. I got all my Digimon to Ultimate, so very close.
Ooh. Okay. What else did you play?
I played two other things. First one is Shadowrun Dragonfall.
Oh my god.
It's a really good game.
I love Dragonfall.
I got it in a bundle with, like, Cluster Truck and Unbox for, like, $3, and I loved it.
That's actually one of our giveaways that's coming up, is that bundle.
Oh, really?
Not the entire bundle, but, like, separate games.
Wow.
I'm just giving away all our giveaway plans.
Well, it's a really good bundle.
Yeah, I played this one. That's the one I played, too. Yeah. I played this one a long time ago.
Like, yeah, it came out in, like, 2013?
Something like that.
It was I think it was one of the first ones. But, how'd you like it?
I'm really enjoying it. I'm, like, 5 hours in, I think.
Okay.
And, mechanically, whatever. It's just kind of Diet XCOM. Mm-hmm. But I love the storytelling so far. It does that thing where, like, it brings everything it mentions at the start, like, completely full circle. But it's done it, like, 5 times.
In, like, 5 hours, yeah. That's what I remember. It was just, like, a whole lot happened in, like, a very short amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember the first time I played that game. Like, this was, like, way before, like, D&D and, like... Or maybe it was, like, just, like, a few months before I started getting into D&D. So, like... This is very much based on the tabletop games. There's lots of, like, similar mechanics and stuff. And especially the fact that Shadowrun has, like, very strange class names and stuff like that. And, like, very, like, if you're used to your standard, like, RPG or even just cyberpunk stuff, like, it doesn't really sound like anything else. So I'm sitting here, like, Street Samurai? What the fuck is a Decker? Like, I don't know what any of it was. So I made, like, about 5 different accounts, all dwarves, naturally. That just trying to figure out what each one of the classes were before I even started playing.
Yo, it fucked me up because, like, I picked a troll to play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I, like, have never looked into what, like, anything in Shadowrun actually looks like. I just assume it's, like, dirty cyberpunk.
Yeah.
So, like, I did not know trolls were, like, from fucking Fist of the North Star. I was expecting, like, lanky-ass World of Warcraft trolls.
No. That's really good.
It fucked me up.
Yeah, the, I also dig just like the setting of this one because it's a lot more cyberpunky what I usually associate with Shadowrun, especially like because like the Shadowrun we play is a bit more cyberpunky, but like if you look at the images, it looks like. It looks like it's so brown and gross. It's like it looks almost dystopian.
Like, yeah, and, that's what I went for. Good to know that I nailed that.
But it's like, yeah, I really dig the more sort of cyberpunky feel. It's real good.
Yeah.
What else you got for us, Dan?
The final one I've been playing is Fire Emblem Shadows of Valentia.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And I like it a lot more than Awakening or Fates.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Someone who understands.
If this is like a wake-up call for me, I think I've accepted it fully. To at least play Shadows of Valentia.
It's not what modern Fire Emblem is, and I'm really happy about that.
Okay, bless.
my biggest complaint is that the map design is hot slop. But, like, other than that, I'm really liking it.
But it's like, okay, so I guess this is a bit spoilery, but it gets way better. So okay. It's like, it starts off, like, bad, I guess, but it's like, I've played a lot of Fire Emblem games recently, and, like, ever since Awakening, like, map design has just been non-existent.
Yeah, map design has been non-existent since Awakening.
Like, I remember I played 7. Not 7. 7's a good one. Erica and Ephraim, that's 9,
eight.
I think.
It's 8.
Oh, it's 8.
9 is Path of Radiance.
Yeah, so everyone hates... Like, everyone shits on that game. But, like, I specifically remember, like... I remember, like, parts of the map that were, like, key to, like, strategies that I had pushing forward. That's something that I can't say. I remember, like, one tree. It's, like, this one tree that was my homie that, like, I planned everything around in Fire Emblem 8, and I just can't say that about Awakening at all. Awakening is actually all just open fields, and there's, like, zero strategy.
Where I am in Shadows right now, I think it's, like, more open fields than Awakening.
Than Awakening?
Yeah. And the maps are also, like, they're, like, 10 times as big with, like, 10 times less things in them.
Yeah. It's, there's definitely a weird thing, but, like, The last half of the game, like, the dungeons are always bad. Like, when you're crawling through the dungeons, it's just, like, fight some dudes, the terrain doesn't really matter. But, like, the later, like, story missions, like, pretty much, the last half of the game is you just conquering castles. And, like, every single castle is just, like, it's just, like, really, like, well put together and smart. And, like, you have to, like, actually think about how you're gonna, like, push through.
That's good.
Yeah.
I really like how, they treat equipment in this one, because, like, before, it's like, oh, my steel sword broke, better buy a new one.
Yeah. And despise durability. Like, durability is the only reason I haven't played, like, every Fire Emblem game.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Like, I booted up Shadow Dragon, because I was like, oh, it's the remake of the first one, you know, it's a good place to start, and then I'm like, Rapier, 40, I'm like, you start me off with, an amazing weapon, and it can just break.
Yeah.
And even in 7, Sol Kati, fucking, Lin's, like legendary sword.
Yeah. I never understood why they make legendary weapons break. Like, everything else I can understand, but this sword has literally slayed demons. Let it not break.
Yeah. Like, it's... I get that it's a balanced thing, like... But, like, it just seems so wrong, you know? That, like, if I was a noob, I could just use my Sol Kati, like, as my only weapon and break it by Act 2. But I'm sorry. Too sidetracked. Please,
it's
continue.
All good. I really, really like just the idea of, instead of changing weapons, to just modification on your one base weapon. I think that is so cool, because it opens up to a shit ton of team comps, because you can only equip one at a time. So, like, right now I have my cleric, Silk, that's her name.
Yeah.
I have her with a shield that deflects most damage and has her only take one hit, which is good, because she's, like, super weak. But the drawback is that she can't really deal damage, but she has Nosferatu, so now we get this whole, like, take no damage, heal everything up, and hurt the opponent. from two spaces away, and she's, like, tanking everything.
Yeah, it's just face-tanking cleric. The other weird thing, like, or the thing about Fire Emblem that always bothers me is the percentage stat gains, because they're out of control sometimes. Like,
yeah.
For example, I made my Fae a cleric, and this is during my second playthrough. I let her die the first time because she was too clingy. But
yeah, Fae's a thought.
I did it for Alm. You know, Alm's he's a stalwart lad, and she was a bad influence on him. But besides the point. So I made her a cleric, and she just happened to get a lot of defense gains. So that right now she's like a level 11 cleric, I want to say.
Yeah.
And she has 14 physical defense. She has like 5 more than my next closest unit, and she's a cleric. So she can just do whatever the fuck she wants. She already has high resistance and high defense, so she's like my front line. Like, Fae is my front line.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I love the stat gains. It's like so many things just break the game, and one of them is how busted some stat games are. I remember in Fire Emblem 6, which don't play it, it's a bad game. But there's this one character called Deke, and yep.
Deke.
He is a mercenary, and he is like by leaps and bounds the best unit in that whole game. And you get him in, like, Chapter 2. And by the time I was in, like, Chapter 5, he is, like, only, like, 3 or 4 levels, you know, leveled up from then. He starts at, like, 3, I think. At Chapter 5, he's, like, 7, something like that. His stats were, like, 7 to 8 points higher than the rest of my party.
Yeah.
And this is pre-promote. When you bring him into Hero, he actually just maxes out, like, all but, like, one of his stats, I think. It's ridiculous.
But no matter how crazy stat gains are, Bowie is always going to be trash. Bowie being terrible, like, offends me personally. Because every time I see a brown person in a video game, I'm like, well, favorite character immediately. And Bowie's just so bad. Because, like, so here's the dumb thing about this game. Skill doesn't affect magic hit chance at all. So what they did was they had Bowie. His thing is that he has really high skill gains, but it just doesn't help him at all. So meanwhile, Mei has higher attack and speed, and is just like a tiny bit squishier to pay off for it. And it's heartbreak. I wish Bowie was good. But my other brown boy makes up for it very well. Gray is amazing.
Yeah.
Gray has been
fantastic. Beating the shit out of everything.
If you make him a merc, then he's just...
I did.
Tier. Just like, yeah. He's really bad as the other classes, but yeah. As a merc, he's fantastic.
From what I understand, just from literally everyone else who has played this game, they've literally told me, like, if you don't make Gray a merc, you're just kind of dumb.
Yeah, because so there's this... Like, one of their solutions... One of, like, the problems with Fire Emblem's design... was that they would punish you for, like, promoting your units to, like, the next class, which is something you would want to do. Like, in a game, it's like, wow, I can level up? Let's do it. That's rad. But, like, that's a bad idea in, like, every other Fire Emblem game. So what they did with this one is that they have sort of base stats for all the advanced classes. So typically you can just promote them, and they'll be fine. But what they also did was that they had the merc base stats be out of fucking control when it comes to skill and speed. And Gray just has, like, the highest, like, strength, like, the attack growth outside of, like, a few, like optional units late game. So what ends up happening is you just make him a merc, he gets insane strength growths, and then the merc line just makes his speed and skill just insanely high. So he's just the best. And no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Doesn't matter what the stat growths are. Doesn't matter how unlucky you get. Gray is just always fantastic.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's it for Shadows. I'm really enjoying it so far.
Yeah. Okay. Tiffany.
Hi.
Are you ready to tell us your games?
I guess so.
All right.
I mean, I don't have a singular game. I've been playing Splatoon like crazy.
Okay. Yeah. How do you like it?
I haven't had a game I stuck to in a while. Mm-hmm. And, like, this is the first one, and, like, maybe since League, which was, like, 2 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
What else to say?
What do you like about it?
I can splat like, people.
Splat people? Are the mechanics good? Do you, like...
I still need to get used to it. I don't like the matchmaking.
No, why not?
And the other team would have, like, higher levels while we get, like, the... Say, for example, in this game I'm in, I have a level 2. And
this game you're in right now?
This game you're in right now? While you're playing
yeah,
our,
just
while
lost.
You're doing our podcast?
Yes.
But that's great. See, she's doing it. She literally has a live example right now yeah. of her current complaint. That's amazing. I appreciate your, you know, looking ahead and your commitment
yeah, you're
to journalism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel you on the matchmaking. That tends to happen with like every online game at the start.
Yeah, like, and plus I have the worst luck in ranked battle. It was fucking. I went to B minus rank, and then the second game, I get two teammates that disconnected.
I had heard somebody else complaining about that, or maybe that was your tweet. But there was someone maybe? Complaining saying that the higher rank they get, the worse their teammates are.
Yeah, which like, doesn't make any sense.
But the other thing about Splatoon 2 is like, it's. It's like Splatoon itself, like the Splatoon formula is fantastic. It's amazing. I would love to see it come to PC. It would probably break the game, but I don't care. It's this game's fucked. You can't just release the same game and call it a sequel. You just can't do that. But yeah. It's so good that it's like I'm in this weird in between where it's like They don't deserve my money because this isn't a true sequel, but it's still so good. Like, there is absolutely zero reason that you shouldn't be able to change your weapon in the fucking lobby. There is zero fucking reason, like, you can't back out of a lobby after you say you're gonna be in it. There's zero fucking reason. You can't actually queue up with your friends. You have to, like, have one of your friends go into the game and then join them while they're already in the lobby. And while you're in the same fucking lobby, you can't even guarantee that you're all going to play on the same team. Half the time we fucking play, I end up, like, fighting the people I'm trying to play with. And it's just, there's just so many, like, weird, like, dumb things that would have been easy to fix. Like, if you had fixed all the dumb shit that was in the first Splatoon, it would have been so much easier to swallow this pill. The sequel pill. But, they didn't. It's literally the same game. That it just looks nicer. And Pearl is fantastic. But
I love my gremlin toddler.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Team Pearl all day.
Yeah, I used to really like Marina, but Pearl has grown on me a lot.
Like I like them both.
I still really like Marina. Yeah,
I definitely like. I don't know if this is like a battle, but I definitely prefer Pearl and Marina over Callie and Marie.
Oh, I do too.
That just like they just look a lot cooler.
They have a lot more personality.
Yeah, they have a lot more personality. Yeah. And
No, I feel that.
I'm just curious. I wonder if there's gonna be like ooh, that would be interesting. They have fucking Callie and Marie versus Marina and Pearl.
Ooh.
Just like that as a splatfest.
They're absolutely
Callie and Marie return. And then they host one side of the thing. Oh, man.
That would be really good. Hey, Nintendo, listen to us.
They actually take... Splatoon 2 and Splatoon 1 actually take place in, like, different parts of the same city. Because, like, if you go into the back and, like, I think it's behind the food truck, you can actually see the area in Inkopolis from the first game in the distance.
Oh, wow. Wait, really?
Yes.
That's crazy.
That's really good. Oh, that would explain similar maps.
Yay.
Oh, jeez, Nintendo, that's a cop-out. Hey, what the fuck?
Yeah. I love Easter egg stuff, though.
Yeah
Easter eggs are always Easter eggs are just the best part of video games. Just walking into a room and being like, what the fuck? Now that, yeah, that is the reason I play video games.
Yeah.
But, you got anything else to say about Splatoon?
Oh, fuck ranked. Fuck the aerospray.
Yeah.
Fuck my teammates.
Yeah, fuck the aerospray, actually. That weapon is way too good for how early you can get it. Everyone and their mom is taking it.
Yeah. It's actually a Gunpla reference.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah. Aerospray? Yeah. It's literally a reference to, like, building Gundam kits. Because, like,
is it for airbrushing?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's an airbrush.
Okay, yeah.
And one of them is called the Aerospray RG, and the other one is called the Aerospray MG, and those stand for Real Grade and Master Grade, like the Gundam kits.
But in this case, it stands for Machine Gun. And it kills you in, like, two hits. It has insane fire rate, and is really good at spreading ink on the ground. It's just, like, all around amazing. Yeah. And it gets the fucking... the curling bomb special, which is so good. Oh man,
it's like objectively the best special in the game
because it covers so much ground and it controls that area too. Because you can't go there.
Yeah, you just have to back off and respect it.
Yeah, it's so good. Like compare that to Splatdown, which is absolute hot garbage and is on all the weapons I like to use.
It's not even a good panic button. Like,
yeah, because you can just shoot
the ball, right?
No,
the ball is actually good. Yeah. Splatdown is when you jump into the air and like punch the ground in like an anime style. But what ends up happening is people can just shoot you while you're in the air. If it made you immune, then it would be all right. It wouldn't even be good. It would be all right. But it doesn't even do that. You just... anyone who's any good, they'll just get the splatter shot, which is another really good weapon. But I respect that one because you actually have to kind of aim. Yeah. But, they'll just shoot you out of the sky before you even land.
They actually buffed chargers to like, ridiculous extents in the new patch. So now chargers are really good. Yeah, they buffed chargers. Now they're, like, super good.
Weren't they, like... I don't actually know how they were in this game, but I know Chargers were really good in Splatoon 1. Did they nerf them, like, between the two games?
Chargers were, like, okay in Splatoon 1. They were amazing in ranked, but, like, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
In 2, they were, like, solid in ranked, and just if you were in Turf War, if you picked them, it's because you wanted to lose. damn. But now they're, like, ridiculous. Like, up there with stuff like the Aerospray.
Okay.
Do you know what they did? They just increased like charge time across the
board. They
are they snipers? Is that the one I'm thinking?
Yeah, they're snipers.
I don't actually own Splatoon 2, which actually I have a fourth thing to talk about now. third, fifth. Whatever.
You can charge them slightly faster now. I think they go a little bit further, and something else. I think they changed damage output across the board to be higher.
Okay. It's like a universal buff.
Yeah, universal buffs to just make them viable, and the viability made them too viable.
Yeah, especially since they're like high skill weapons, so it's like you put that in the hands of someone who's good. Like I've fought like a good like charger person every once in a while, and they'll just like dismantle me.
Yeah,
just like completely and utterly. Especially since I like to play the melee weapons and the like Splatbrella. Speaking of which, please bluff. Buff Splatbrella.
Yeah, buff Splatbrella.
I love that weapon so much. Just because it's like, you can't, like, so it's like the biggest thing about Splatbrella is that it can block stuff. But the rate at which your ink goes away for blocking is absurd. Like, speaking of which, the aerospray. I try to block the aerospray, and it takes about 1 second of concentrated fire from the aerospray to bring down my ink from 100% to zero. And then at which they kill me in between the time I'm like, dropping my umbrella down. And it just... Splatbrella, please. I want to use you. You're the only true shotgun.
It seems like as they make more, it'll probably get better. Because I definitely think it's going somewhere. But yeah, the base Splatbrella is just not good.
Yeah, I have a lot of success with it. But it's just like... It's by almost entirely ignoring the umbrella portion and just using it like a shotgun. like every time I, like, barring, the only time the umbrella is, like, objectively good is if you're facing a roller, ironically, because you can, when they slam into you, they bounce off the umbrella and you can get a free shot before they can, like, recover. They're, like, in hit stun or some shit. And, but other than that, it's, like, every time I pull out the umbrella, I die, like, every single time.
Yeah. It definitely also seems like... That... Oh, go on.
Uh-oh, they should balance the teams, especially in ranked.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I thought they did a better job of that in ranked. I remember in my short experience
from
with ranked,
one.
It was, it was like free play or like turf war was like a joke. It would be like all level 29s on one side and like all the new kids. But like unranked, I remember it being relatively balanced. But I don't know. I don't know if they somehow fucked it up for Splatoon 2. I really haven't messed with ranked that much.
I haven't played ranked that much either. But from what I have seen, it's like everyone can get to B minus like that. And then afterwards, it's just a cesspool.
So it's like fucking platinum in League of Legends.
You know how as they call it.
No, like this actually platinum was like the worst, like because like that's around like the level me and my friends are at. So it's like some people would play enough ranked to actually get up there, and I have a lot of like personal, obviously anecdotal evidence, but like personal accounts of just like things getting significantly worse when they broke through to platinum. Significantly.
They should count your loss if, I mean, not count your loss if one or two teammates disconnect.
Yeah.
Do you have another real life story to share with us that happened right now?
I mean, not right now, but it was yesterday. My teammates kept fucking disconnecting, and it count as a loss. I was gonna get C+ because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has, in part, to do with people just have bad connections, and also in part to do with the Switch's Wi-Fi card is pathetic.
Yeah.
Like, it is absolutely fucking pathetic. Like, I have my Switch resting, like, less than a foot away from my router, so it's not a big problem for me. But if I want to, like, play online and not be in my room, I just can't. Like, when you're more than 10 feet away from your router, your Switch goes from full connection to no bars at all.
Oh, what's your Switch add friend code thing?
I don't know that shit off the top of my head. That's like a 15-digit code that shouldn't even be on the Switch anyway. I don't remember.
Why are they still doing fucking codes? How, like, what year? We've been roasting Nintendo for doing friend codes since, like, 2004.
2006.
Whenever the fuck the Wii came out.
With the DS.
Oh, yeah, they did on the Wii. With the DS, too.
On the Wii, yeah. Okay.
They've been in this shit forever. We've been roasting them the whole time. It's 2017. Yeah. Still fucking doing it.
Just use usernames like everybody else.
Yeah.
Maybe it's to, like, prepare kids to memorize their social security number.
That's digits. That's 9 digits.
Yeah, but, like, if you over-prepare them, like, expectations are everything. If the kid expects that he's going to have to, memorize 15, his brain is going to be ready to remember 15, and then 8's going to be easy. No problem.
Yeah,
no problem.
I shouldn't be talking. I can't remember Dave's phone number.
I don't remember
phone
numbers.
You can give me
anymore.
Your social security if you can't remember your Switch code.
I don't remember my social security number either, and that's probably a really bad thing.
Okay.
It's very bad.
I remember mine, and I'm not going to recite it because that would be stupid.
I keep losing my card, so I have
that's
to remember it.
Not good.
Losing your card is probably worse than not remembering it.
Well,
yeah.
I've done it like 4 times.
Okay.
Anyways, don't search my trash.
Okay. Wasn't planning
on it.
I already
do that.
Anyways, Yakuza Kiwami.
Yeah, Yakuza Kiwami. Speaking of fighting, holy shit, I fucking love this series. Guys, have I told you? I love this series. I love this game series.
What series?
Yakuza series.
Never heard of it.
Wow, that's surprising. Actually, not really before the beginning of this year, but Yakuza Kiwami went so many places and did a lot of things, and I also, with it, went so many places and did way too many things. As soon as I got this game, my one regret with Yakuza 0 was not doing enough like side story stuff. I did a lot, but I didn't do all of them. So I did all of them in Yakuza Kiwami. And there are 78. What a coincidence. Since this is episode 78.
Whoa.
I didn't plan that. Like, not at all.
You didn't plan that Yakuza Kiwami would come out about a week before episode 78?
No.
That's crazy.
And I didn't because, like, we switched up a couple of episodes, and this isn't, like, actually episode 78, because we've had some bonus ones.
That's true.
But, okay, I think it's wild, and I realized it when I was announcing the episode title at, like, the beginning of the podcast. Let's see, what can I say about Yakuza's story without giving a lot away?
You could just describe there, it as, like, storytelling, I guess? Or the way
it's storytelling is from the point of Kazuma Kiryu. Or
he's good boy, right? He's the good
murder boy. He's good justice boy. Okay. Yeah. Goro Majima is a murder boy.
Okay. Yeah, good
crazy
boy
murder,
and
boy.
Murder boy.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the previous game it showed you'd played through the story with both of them.
Yeah.
At separate times. So this one continues where I think 7 years after that one left off, Kiryu is about to get his own family in the Yakuza, and an event happens. And I'm not gonna, like, that's where I have to stop. So this event causes him to, like, disappear for a while, and then when he comes back, everything is obviously changed. So the game takes place in 2005. And there are a lot of, like, family politics that have happened while he was not around. And it's him finding out what was happening when he was not there. There were a lot of, like, political ties that come in. There are a lot of, like, different family factions that were in Yakuza Zero that come back with different motives. And there's a different, like, third party. I don't want to say third party because there are, like, three just in talking about Kiryu's life. But aside from Yakuza politics and that's it, there's a third party involved in it. And the way that that's introduced at the very beginning is really good. It's pretty seamless, actually. And then the way it comes back after Kiryu's disappearance is... like, really, really well orchestrated. Yeah. I can say that there's a little girl in it, and that's the third party, is her whole ordeal. Because it's on the cover. Come on. It's not a spoiler. Her name is Haruka, and I love her. She's my daughter, and I'll protect her till the day I die.
It's interesting. The way, like, for those who don't know, Yakuza 0 came out this year, and it's, like, a new game. It's one of those prequels.
In Japan.
So it's, like, it's one of those prequels that came out way later, and this is a remake of the first game. And the way you're describing it makes it sound like they did a really good job of, like, making 0, like, seamlessly tie into the first game.
Fantastic.
Because, like, the way you were describing it, it's, like, it almost sounds like... Like, Yakuza
it almost
Zero
like
came
Zero
first.
Existed. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they did a really good job of making sure that things from Zero didn't contradict anything that happened in the main games. Yeah. And they also did a really, really good job of setting up Kiryu's life before the main game started, when he first got into the Yakuza. What else? I want to talk about some stories, actually. There are a lot, naturally. One of them you can't do until you've completed all of the other sub-stories and progressed all the way in upgrading your fighting styles. And that's... That whole sub-story is bullshit. Basically, you have to fight this super overpowered assassin. And I don't want to give away any more of that battle. Yeah. But the sub-stories were... I didn't feel like they were as, like, comedic relief as they were in Zero. It was just consequential, like, oh, you're here, help me with this thing. That being said, they were still kind of funny, and they still had an effect on the main storyline. A couple of them were tied into upgrading your fourth fighting style, the Dragon of Dejima style, and those two were the most frustrating ones. One of them is based on an RNG-heavy rock-paper-scissors battle. And then the other one is based on, like, 8 or 7 or 8 of them. so that's not super. And then another one is based on, like, literally 15 like pocket car races. So the sub stories that you do that are tied into those are, like, you know, they're lighthearted and stuff. But as soon as you get to the part where you have to use it for character advancement, it becomes a lot more of a challenge, which kind of was not the tone of the sub story. So that being said, I enjoyed them a lot more than, say, Dave is. Dave was earlier today getting really, really frustrated with a lot of the, like, car racing one. Because you do need it to completely fill out the Majima Everywhere Dragon of Dejima wheel. And that's the other thing I want to get to, is the Majima Everywhere mode. Holy shit. It's great.
What the fuck is that?
So, in Yakuza Kiwami, Goro Majima and Kazuma Kiryu are nemeses for some unknown reason. A lot of stuff happened in between Zero and this game. But they've met. So they know each other. And after Kiryu's disappearance, he's obviously a lot less the Dragon of Dejima as he was. So Goro Majima decides, hey, I'm going to stalk you. I'm letting you know this is going to happen. I'll be watching you, and we're going to fight whenever I feel like it.
It's like a nemesis from Resident Evil 2.
Yeah. So.
Is it like at specific story beats, or is it just like randomly you'll be like, or you'll just be like walking around the city and he starts punching you in the head?
Yes. It's both of those.
That's amazing. I was just joking about the nemesis thing, but it's actually exactly like that. That's amazing. Like,
he'll either be walking around the city, and early on in the game you get like a you get a sense that tells you whenever he's around.
That's actually amazing.
And you'll be able to see him like walk in the streets if you're close enough to him. And then he'll also hide in random objects like trash cans, manholes, and giant traffic cones.
So this is like a mode you can opt into?
No.
Oh, okay.
This even is better. Active.
Okay.
And there are like different personas of him that you find. Like, there's a cop, zombie, everyone's idol, which is an Easter egg from Zero, which I thought was really nice. And then eventually Mad Dog, I was gonna say Mad Dog of Mattapan, because that's what I have Caleb nicknamed as in Facebook Messenger.
That's amazing.
It's Mad Dog of Shimano. His fighting style that he gets, much like Kazuma Kiryu is the Dragon of Dejima, he's the Mad Dog of Shimano, which is being pretty powerful in their respective families.
Yeah.
Majima Everywhere mode honestly got a little tiring at the end because...
I can imagine.
Like, he becomes a full-on boss.
Just like, boss.
And it's like, he's
every...
like, okay, I'm here now. Have fun. I'm like, I don't want to have fun anymore. I want to get off this wild ride. So that was great. I mean, the instances where you find him in just like playing mini games, like I took a break to go play, I think, pool once, and he was like, hey, we're playing pool now. And then it took me a long time to beat him.
Wait, so he challenges you in ways outside of combat too?
That's yes. He challenges you in ways outside of combat, and his different personas will display each of his different fighting styles as well from Zero. And then I guess I should talk about fighting styles since that's kind of the core of this game. You have four. Brawler, Rush, Beast, and Dragon. And then Dragon is like the legendary one that's exclusive to Kiryu.
I love that each fighting style sounds equally aggressive. So, the moment you started listing them, I was going to say, oh, I wonder if I play through this game, like, which one I would gravitate towards. And, like, literally all of them sound appealing.
Yeah. I gravitated towards Beast, because it allows you to just, like, pick random very heavy objects, like motorcycles, up off the street and hit people with them. It's really good for group battles.
Fantastic.
Rush actually happened to be really good against, like, there's a part in the game where you could go to an underground coliseum. Rush is really good against those opponents because you can dodge. And then Brawler happens to be, like, the balance between the two and is arguably the most powerful style between them because of its damage output and speed. And then Dragon is just butt early on.
Oh, I was going to say, what?
Yeah, Dragon is butt early on. Okay. And it takes a lot of getting used to. But that's a story beat. And I really like how they worked it in.
This was hard to master. And they reflect that mechanically.
Yes.
That's my favorite thing, just about video games. Is like the fact that you can sell a story idea mechanically. That's like... that's my shit.
Yeah. And... I guess I'll talk a little bit about boss fights and their format. There's this special... You have heat actions in battle. I just hit my microphone, I'm sorry. You have heat actions in battle, which after you've landed a certain number of blows without being hit, you can situationally like grab an enemy and do a massive amount of damage to them. Bosses will regenerate health in this game. And there are extreme heat actions, or Kiwami heat actions, that you can learn that stop them from doing that and also do a great amount of damage. That system was really great. In a lot of boss fights, it felt like I was actually a worthy opponent. And then in a lot of other ones, it felt like the boss... like, was designed with that in mind and just kept cheesing the fuck out of every single fighting style I used on it. So that was not great. Yeah, there's just one boss that, now that I'm thinking about it, is really frustrating because he uses guns. And while you can disarm enemies pretty easily if you have heat, you get hit, like, all the time. So... my last, like, critique is that bosses can, like, dodge out of your combos whenever. But if you get caught in a boss's combo, it's a one-way ticket to goodbye half my health.
Yeah.
So, that's it. I really like it. Like, I just like it so much. I like that the story has a purpose. It seems like a lot of this game has a purpose. And it's done, everything that they put in is done with that in mind. Yeah, it's really solid. I also don't like that you can't use Kiwami actions on Majima, because he regens health. And he's not technically a boss. Okay. So. But yeah, that's all I have to say. I wrote a review about it, which is now on our site.
Hey.
I gave it a 4.8. I absolutely adore this game, even with its faults. Out of five. If it was up to me, I'd give Yakuza 0 a perfect 5. Or a 4.9.
But it is up to
It is up to me. True. I can do that.
Yes, you have the power.
Five stars. It's fantastic. It made me weep. This game also made me weep. And that's what I like.
That used to like be a statement that meant a lot, at least for me. I mean,
I'm just desensitized to a lot of emotional stuff.
That used to be me. Like before, like I remember, like I cried about Bye Bye Butterfree, like back when I was a kid.
Oh my god,
Butterfree.
And then like I didn't cry like because you know toxic masculinity, yada yada, whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't cry for, like, the longest... the next time I cried was, like, The Walking Dead, the game. Like, the ending of that game. Like, that was the next time I cried. And now I cry all the fucking time. It's really obnoxious, actually. Great. I mean, it feels great, but it's, like, it's a lot of work sometimes. And now I just do it all the time, and it's pissing me off. So.
Yeah, I had to find an eyeliner specifically because I like my eyes water up a lot and I cry all the time.
Yeah, it just used to be like, I remember like one of the things like when I used to like talk about The Walking Dead episode one, I was like, that game made me cry. Like, yeah. Like that was like a big deal. Now it's like, fuck, I play like, man.
It's, like, yeah. Oh, I saw a dog today. Got a little sniffly.
She missed her mom. They she's been gone for about a couple hours.
But yeah. Yakuza Kiwami. Very good. I recommend it to everybody. If you don't do all of the side stuff, it's about 15, 20 hours.
Beautiful.
And it's only $30.
That is the perfect game length. 15, 20 hours. 15 to 30 is like the magic sweet lands.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you don't do side stuff at like pretty much at all, zero is about 30 hours. So they're reasonably sized RPGs. And I like how they do the quote-unquote open world. Because it's a very concentrated, close-knit, like, there's a lot of stuff to do in this one open area.
Yeah, yeah. I much prefer that, opposed to the, like, go across this empty field that has absolutely nothing in it, but wow, so large.
Yeah.
That open worlds have become. I much prefer the sort of old-school, like, here's a city block. There's a lot going on here.
Mm-hmm. And then I think my last detail, like actually my last detail about these games, but I think Kamurocho, where it takes place, is based off of an actual neighborhood in Japan, and it's detailed pretty well for that, like pretty accurately. Yeah. So I'm also very biased because I fucking love these games. They're good.
That's
anyway.
Like, I don't know, you played the first one today. I feel like, I'm not the first one today, but the first one this year. Or like, you played your first Yakuza game this year, so it's like, I don't know if bias is necessarily the right word. It's like, you played a game series, it was good, you enjoy it.
That's
and
true.
That's really
that's
all
true.
There is to it. If it was like,
it's not like
when
I
you
played
were
a
kid,
when I was
you
a
played
kid.
Your first Yakuza game, and like, now you have rose-tinted, like, you know, glasses on.
Yeah. It was also really interesting. Okay, I lied. This is my last story.
Sorry,
you
I kind of.
I'm so sorry.
That's fine. I kind of kept it going. That's fine.
It's okay. I really like that. This is a story from 2005 that still holds up 12 years later.
Yeah, that's surprising. That's the greatest achievement right there.
Yeah. And the fact that I like hold its story in such high regard is really, really saying something. So, all right, let's do some announcements.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We're probably reworking our stream schedule now that school is starting up.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also am getting a job where I have to wake up early for. So I'm changing my schedule also. We are going to be archiving our streams regularly on YouTube. We've been kind of slacking. Mm. And it's pretty much right after the stream ends. We have to wait 24 hours and then we can archive it.
Yeah.
Which sucks, but it's a limitation of the partnership affiliate program on Twitch. And then actually by the time this podcast is out, our Destiny 2 giveaway will be open, and we will have picked a winner for Yakuza Kiwami. And the last day to enter the Destiny 2 giveaway is September 12th at midnight is when it ends. Well, 11:59. And then we have our daily giveaways going as usual. So, and we always tweet about those. We put them on Facebook. So, all times are Eastern. Because we all live on the eastern coast, except for Chris and Kennedy. Okay. Now let's get into some questions.
Oh, wait, actually, I have one more announcement.
Oh, one more announcement from
yes,
here.
No confirmed date yet, but I have been thinking about building Gunpla on Twitch Creative.
Oh.
Yes.
So,
yes.
That'll be a thing eventually.
That's
okay.
A great idea.
That's
super chill,
so yeah,
too.
We'll announce that.
Just get some chill royalty-free music.
Yeah.
Just build
it's
away.
Lockdown. We should buy the rights, the royalty free rights to Lockdown.
Kevin McLeod.
And just play it.
Let's just.
All right. Now it's really time for questions. This one actually comes from Tiffany, and she tweeted it out earlier on our Twitter, which people who are Lifecast and also listening to this podcast, you're welcome to do so. Make sure you sign it and at yourself. But what games are you excited for, and would you want to live in the world of said game?
Oh, I got a list of excited shit.
Oh, boy.
Please, because I'm struggling to think of something that's really...
I just want to shill mine real quick. Animal Crossing Mobile, and yes, I would absolutely love to live in it.
Mm.
That's it.
So,
my other one I tweeted earlier. Huh? So, that's a reply to this question on our Twitter page.
Mm.
Go ahead, Dan.
So, to start off, Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I would probably not like to live in the world of Dragon Ball, though, because I'll probably die. And then come back, and then die again, and then come back, and then die again.
Yeah, it just seems like a chore at that point.
That being said, though, there's nothing I've ever wanted to do more than to shoot a fucking energy beam out of my hand.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
As we learned, all humans are capable of such things. And while I would not be a Saiyan, I would not be blessed with the... you know, the god blood, whatever the fuck makes them way better than everybody else. You know, it would be nice to... just imagine flying. Just like, that would be so dope. And the fact that there's, like, dinosaurs and shit.
And it's okay, just, like, yeah, that would be pretty
It'd
cool.
be pretty lit.
Like, outside of the dying, like everything seems pretty rad.
Yeah.
Like, even if I didn't get superpowers, like, it's, like, super, like, in the future, but there's, like, no, like... particular, like, it doesn't seem like there's any real conflict in the world outside of the ones that the DBZ people make for the world. And
they're the real villains?
Yeah. It's like, you know, how, like, they say, like, Batman, like, caused all his villains type of thing. Like, the super villains get worse because Batman's so strong type of thing. It's, similar concept. Actually plays directly into Cell, who's, like, so powerful literally because of the Z Fighters.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. But, yeah. Anything else?
I just had one and I lost it. Oh, Mario Odyssey. I'm really looking forward to Mario Odyssey, and I'd actually really like to be in that world. It seems real pretty, real nice.
Actually, that is the correct answer.
I kind of want to live in New Donk City, mostly because it's called New Donk City.
I for the longest time, I thought it was New Dong City, and I was so, like, elated.
Oh, man, that would have been so good.
Yeah, I thought it was New Donk City as well.
Nintendo, why? Why wasn't it New Donk City?
Probably because of good PR.
Yeah, probably.
Expand
But
Donk
now we have
City.
Just Donk.
Yeah, Donk is pretty gross, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also very good.
Donk sounds like slang for an STD.
Yeah.
It does.
And it's also slang for a butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, babe.
Which we already decided are better. On the Lifecast. Podcast.
Officially decided here on the Lifecast.
You
it
heard
was,
it.
Yeah, now the whole world has to follow our lead.
Yep. Wouldn't that be great? Dan, do you have any others?
Not really. What else is coming out?
Games that are coming out. What? Is there, like, a good word that means upcoming? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the one.
That's the word. Upcoming games.
The word.
I would not want to live in Marvel vs. Capcom. I'm already not that great looking. I don't want to be worse. I'm just playing. I'm beautiful.
I guess while we're thinking. Oh, damn.
Gundam Versus is coming out. I'd love to live in the Gundam world.
Okay.
Get to pilot a robot.
Yay. I'll just give mine that I tweeted out because probably no one's going to go search for that. I said Yakuza 6, I think, I forget the subtitle, but no, I wouldn't want to live there. What the fuck?
South Park, the fractured butthole. That's just kind of cool. Because it's like, you got a bunch of kids who are like, coming together and playing pretend. I didn't have friends when I was a kid. That'd have been cool. You know, to have people to talk to. You know Kuni too? Oh,
yes.
That is the correct answer.
Yeah.
You know Kuni is like the most fucking delightful, like wholesome world that I've ever fucking been in. And it was fucked up. There was darkness there too, but it was like, man, like what a beautiful, interesting world.
I still have to play the first one.
Yeah, it's the best too. Pokemon game ever fucking made. Like, bought, like, not even close.
What? I just had one. Oh, Ruiner? Yeah. If I was cool, I would like to live in that world. Tiffany, do you have any answers for this?
No.
It was your question. No?
I only ask questions.
She does not have answers.
Oh, my.
She's
the
one
Wolfenstein.
Who asks. I would not want to live in Wolfenstein.
Not even a little.
I guess Pokemon Ultra Sun.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. I would live in Alola, like, tonight. Like, right this second. Don't even get time to put on, like, lighter clothing. I'll fucking go there right now.
We good to move on?
Yeah.
Alright, these next three are from me. I decided I should come up with questions so we don't look awkward as hell on our podcast.
Good idea.
That's a great idea.
Asking for them.
That's a great idea. I support that.
Okay, thank you. If you swapped places with the main character of the last game you played, how would the story change?
I'd die.
The Dragon of Dejima would be a little bitch.
The most recent game I just finished playing Absolver, so it would be it would become a very frustrating game, as you would come up to your like any random NPC and just get your ass fucking whooped and have to respawn over and over again. It would be a test of patience and not a lot of fun.
Okay. Tiffany,
what was the question?
If you swap places with the main character of the last game you played, how would the story change?
I mean, I'm playing Splatoon, so...
Like, would you be good at splatting?
I mean, I'd hope so.
Okay.
Like, that's like the only thing their society does, I would hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have real jobs,
like the,
so they just splat.
In the world of Splatoon, if you can't splat, you're a social outcast.
The horror.
You can't splat, you ain't jack.
You can't stomp either, so I think everyone would have, like, buff arms. like very scrawny legs.
They'd all be Sonic Boom
dude,
Knuckles.
Running in ink is probably, like, super fucking hard.
Yeah.
Everybody would just be jacked as shit.
Not
to mention,
drown.
Have you seen the rate at which they throw that fucking bucket? Like, holy shit. That shit's filled with ink. I want to see, like, one of those, like, you know how, like, Game Theory or, like, Screw Attack, they'll, like, do analysis based off of feats. And, like, they'll talk about how, like, bullshit that is. I want to know how strong you'd have to be to fucking throw a bucket filled with, like, thick, gooey ink at the rate at which you can throw that bucket. That shit's out of control.
And when you go back, no ink would, like, spill out. Either.
Yeah, that's like full control.
Yeah,
you're so strong that you have like full control. It's not even like. Whew. Yeah.
Shall we move on to the next question?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Do you remember the first game you played obsessively, and have you played any more like that since then? Which was your favorite?
Oh, this is a hard one.
Ooh,
three questions.
Yep.
Yeah, three questions in one. I tried to make these multifaceted.
Dense. It's dense. Alright, so the first was first game you played the shit out of.
Yeah. Oh, no. Mine was... I tried to do 100% on Sonic and the Secret Rings, but I hacked it instead. So I guess you would count it as that.
The first games I played the shit out of was probably Dynasty Warriors 2. Like, that was the first game I, like, have memories of just going, like, balls deep into and trying to unlock, like, all the characters, which is, like, super cryptic and confusing in the earlier editions. You have to, like, complete certain goals, and, like, some characters were, like, you would only be able to recruit them if they survived a mission, like, they were supposed to be killed in. So you'd have to, like, have to, like, play the map in a certain way and, like, get to them where they're about to be ambushed and save them from, like, the archers that are coming down on them and shit. Which sounds really cool now that I'm, like, describing it, but it's not that cool.
Oh, well, that's disappointing. I was about to say that sounds very cool.
But yeah, I know, like, it sounds really cool, but it's still...
And then you remember that it's a Dynasty Warriors game.
Yeah, yeah. That being, I do fucking love Dynasty Warriors, and, like, I'm gonna devote, like, my analysis career to trying to figure out why I love those games so much, even though they're, like, clearly bad. There's something of value there that... that remains to be uncovered.
I want to see, like, a 72-part video series on why...
why this garbage game series is, like, somewhat entertaining.
Yeah. They could be 5 minutes long each.
Yeah, other games I went super hard onto were MMOs, sadly. I played, like, a lot of MapleStory. Mm-hmm. And I'm not ashamed to say it, but it's just, like, I wish... that instead of becoming an MMO gamer, I had just became a fighting game gamer instead. Like, because I played Smash, like, the whole time, but, like, I didn't play Smash. Like, I could have totally been, like, one of those, like one of the people, like, on stage at, like, Red Bull fucking gods and gatekeepers. Like, if I had been playing Smash, like, the whole time, things would have been so different. That's my only regret. I wish I played Smash. Not even just Smash, just fighting. Because I've been playing fighting games my whole life, but, like, I'm, like, the casual fighting game player that that was a great single-player campaign. Like, I'm that guy. And, like, I remember I tore apart, like, Soul Calibur 5 because I was just like, oh, the story mode was garbage and there's no features. And it's just like, that game was just not made for me. That is a, yeah. But, and there's also, naturally, Dark Souls. I put, like, 500 hours into the first game, 300 hours into the second game, 200 hours into the third game. That's a lot of time.
I played Warframe pretty obsessively. That was one of my first ones. I was not in a good place. What is it with MMOs?
MMOs are for sad people. Like, when you're in darkest place, that's when MMOs are good games. Because you don't love yourself enough to play a game that's, like, quality. I'm just playing MMO, guys.
But now I go back to Warframe, and it's like, all right.
Sad after playing MMOs.
Yeah, no, MMOs don't help unsad. They just, like, help you wallow in despair.
Yeah, I've played a lot of other games obsessively since then. I want a Platinum Kiwami, and probably Zero also. Yakuza, obviously.
I really want a Platinum Pyre. What else is there?
Yeah?
It seems like a really hard game to do, though, because it's like, I don't like looking up hidden objectives, and I'm just like, this is one of those games where you're never going to guess, like, some of them. It's going to be like, get a character to this point in the story and have, like, banished at these certain number to get this hidden cutscene, and I'm just like, fuck that shit.
I went pretty obsessively into Horizon also. I have a pretty low threshold for obsessively. It's just like, any game I'll play for like 10 hours and actually care about doing extra stuff in. So Horizon was one of them. Also, oh, fucking Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Oh god, yes.
And that one was probably my favorite, because there was a real sense of, like, I did this. I made this town.
Yeah, especially with all the hacking
stuff.
All
my villagers love me.
All of them.
Yeah, with all the hacking stuff, it turned into something so cool.
Yeah.
That I wish I could still do, but Nintendo's really cracking down on it, unfortunately.
Whatever, it's fine. We're not going to talk about Nintendo and being dumb.
They're just, a lot of firmware mods are what you use to hack Animal Crossing, and Nintendo sees that and is like, your console actually can't go online ever again. And it turned into them, like, falsely banning people that had never had custom firmware. So,
class.
They weren't doing a great job about it. But yeah, Animal Crossing New Leaf was probably my favorite. even though I do love the Yakuza games.
Which ones have I played obsessively?
I had a lot of good times with Animal Crossing.
What?
What game did you play obsessively, Tiffany? What was the first one?
Probably Spyro. I can't really remember anything before that.
Okay.
And there was this, like, other PlayStation games, a Nickelodeon show of, like, these kids skateboarding.
Rocket Power.
Whatever.
Rocket Power!
Yeah, Rocket Power. I played that a lot for some reason.
Did you do, like, any others besides that?
I was going to add to that. Chibi Robo, Pokemon Coliseum.
Oh my god, Chibi Robo is so good.
Yeah, I played Sims a lot. I made a lot of lesbians when I was a kid.
Hey.
what else was there? Pokemon Yellow and Red. COD, right. And League.
Yeah, I put a lot of time into Call of Duty as well. Kind of forget about those days. Because now I'm a disgusting PC gamer.
Yeah, now it's Splatoon.
Splatoon's a new FPS. I love that. The fact that you could go from Call of Duty until fucking Splatoon.
Yeah, it's still a shooter.
Yeah, it's still a shooter.
Even though I main fucking paintbrush.
I don't know, man. You make paintbrush look top tier.
Hey, the paintbrush is ridiculous when used in the right hands. That thing has a super high skill cap.
Oh, not to mention, I don't know if it's me dropping my Joy-Cons, but my Joy-Cons are already fucked up now.
It's probably because you dropped
them. Yeah. They don't seem to be made of the sturdiest plastic.
Yeah, like, yeah. This is the only Nintendo console that's not, like, built to survive nuclear holocaust.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad, you know? I mean, it's cheap. Like the console is relatively cheap considering, like, how good it is.
Yeah.
And you could definitely see that they had to cut corners. Especially with that fucking round. Wi-Fi card. God, get out.
Yeah, I can't press down on the L stick thing, and the ZR button is not as clicky as it used to be.
Oh, the clickiness just kind of stops after a while, I've noticed.
Oh, well, fuck. Okay, it's probably because I'm a paintbrush user.
Yeah.
You have to rapid tap on that.
If you do it too much, the clickiness will just kind of die down after a while, sadly.
Yeah, it's only been, like, what, less than a month that I got it in my console?
Same.
And I've had, like, difficulties getting it, too.
So, favorite games you've played obsessively? Tiffany, Greg, and Dan.
Let's see.
Favorite games played obsessively.
Oh, wait, wasn't that the question we just answered?
Oh, yeah. This is the third part of it.
Oh, fuck, I answered that part.
Oh, okay.
What is your favorite game you played obsessively?
I don't have favorites, really.
I've played a lot of games obsessively. Like, I remember getting really into Pokemon Ruby. Like, really, really, really into Pokemon Ruby.
Yeah, that was the one I went hard into. Like, I did the secret bases shit.
Yeah.
And all the weird shit with, like, the Regis and, like, Relicanth and shit. Oh, man, that was my shit.
Outside of that, most of my GameCube library, because at the time it was the only system I had, that's when I got most of my GameCube games.
I feel that.
So, like, every GameCube game I got, I played for, like, months on end, nonstop. So, like, Custom Robo, Skies of Arcadia, fucking Zoids Battle Legends, all that stuff. And also Splatoon. Splatoon 1, I did not stop playing.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, Greg.
Thinking back on it, I actually did play, like, a lot of just Smash. Like, I'm pretty sure I 100%ed Melee, like, and Brawl. Ooh. And, like, Brawl has, like...
I remember...
Like, it's, like, 20,000, like, collectibles and shit.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, I spent, like, years trying to unlock all the fucking music tracks in that fucking game. That was the best part of Brawl by far. Brawl is a fantastic game. It's a terrible fighting game, but, like, just, like...
Yeah, but a good, like, collectible game.
Yeah, just, like, a good, just a solid fucking game. My favorite thing I've gone balls deep into is obviously Dark Souls. It's just that game, you get as much out of that game as you put in, and there's just a whole lot there. And sort of like going online, like reading the crazy theories and like how everyone thought Solaire was the firstborn and like all that, like all the shit that's there. It's just interesting and yeah.
Tiffany, you were going to say something?
All I was about to say was just, like, now that I was looking at my DS games, and I played Pokemon Mystery Dungeon a lot.
Oh, that's the one that we talk, right?
And Nintendogs.
Oh my god, Nintendogs. That too.
I can't really remember anything else.
Okay. We good to head into our last question?
Sure.
Yes.
What's the most amount of time you've spent on a typically short game, and do you regret it?
Most time I've spent on a...
I like wrote this one, and then I don't have an answer.
Same.
I guess it would be New Leaf again, because a lot of people just get tired of it within like a couple few hours. Like, oh yeah, I did all the stuff I could do in my town. Here I am sitting with like 500 hours in this game.
The Animal Crossing game that was based on customizing people's houses.
Oh, Happy Home Designer! Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
You didn't like it?
Nope.
Did you put a lot of time into it?
Somewhat.
Okay. And no, I don't regret putting a lot of time into Animal Crossing New Leaf. Not at all.
Short games.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I mean, every game I play nowadays is like 1,000 fucking hours.
Yeah. I've been like mentally preparing myself to play at least a little bit of Persona 5. And I don't know how I would do it if I didn't have remote play on my Vita.
Yeah, I'm sure Persona 5 is an amazing mobile game.
Yeah. Like, Persona 4 was great because I could play it whenever I wanted. I didn't have to sit and like use my computer desk and half of my monitors to be like, I'm gonna play this game now, because that's how I do stuff on my PS4. But
short game,
trying to think.
What do you mean by short game?
I didn't expect this to be that hard.
Actually, I think I got one.
Okay,
It's a short game for me, but it's not a short game for a lot of people. The original Mega Man X? Because, like, I can...
Oh, yeah, that's technically, yeah, you can beat all those games in, like, 4 minutes. Yeah.
But, like...
Obviously not that short, but...
Because, like, my average time in beating that game is, like, an hour. You know, if I have an hour to kill, I'll just boot up a Super Nintendo emulator and I'll just play Mega Man X. But I have beaten this game... I lost track of how many times I've beaten Mega Man X. I've probably dumped, like, 100 hours into a 1 hour game.
Okay.
So I guess that.
What do you mean by short game? Like,
a game that's you can complete in a short amount of time.
I don't know. I don't know why, it kind of reminds me of the Hamtaro game that I played on my Game Boy.
Oh my god, wait, which one?
It was like a rainbow one.
Rainbow one. Because I had one of them, and I loved the shit out of it.
Yeah, mine was in Japanese, and I didn't know where the save button was, so every time I turned off the Game Boy, I had to restart.
Is there like a My Anime list for video games? Because I feel like I need to make one just so I can... remember what fucking games I've played throughout my life.
Yeah. Wait, here's what it was. Ham Ham Heartbreak. That's what it was.
Ham Ham Heartbreak.
I fucking love this game.
Was it the one that I played?
Maybe?
Or? It was in Japanese, so I couldn't read the title. Cooking Mama.
Oh, Cooking Mama's good.
Oh, wait, there was also a Rainbow Rescue.
Oh, I think it was that one. It had Rainbow on it.
Okay, well, I'm starting to think, like, I'm reflecting on my whole life, and I just can't come up with something. I'm a very, you know, when I finish a game, I'm kind of done with it. And, like, or I play, like, an endless game, like an MMO or something. It's probably an example, but for the life of me, I can't think of anything.
Okay.
Which is really making a huge downer right now.
I do hate that I spent, like, $1,000 on an MMO called Grand Chase, and they shut down.
Oh my god, Grand Chase.
Oh,
that was, like, the prime MMO of my weeb phase.
Yeah, same. Well, I wasn't really a weeb, but was I? I'm not sure.
Probably were. Everyone's maybe a weeb. Yeah. That's something.
Yeah. I watched 3 anime, and I went pretty hard into a weeb phase, so if like, I can do it, so can you.
Watashi.
Watashi.
I mean, I got the... I can't think of nothing. The best example might... like a fighting game or some shit, honestly.
Yeah.
Where it's like I said I didn't play fighting games like competitively, so it, like I would play like Soul Calibur 3, and like I probably put like honestly like 1,000 hours into Soul Calibur 3, just like grinding that fucking like chess game mode, like trying to get all like the customizable shit.
That like, counts.
Yeah, it counts. We did it.
Oh, also, Brawl probably counts.
Oh, Brawl. That's actually the answer.
I remember a Street Fighter game on the Game Boy that I played a lot.
This is like the third time this week I've heard about the Street Fighter game on Game Boy. I don't know what's going on.
Alright. Are we good?
I guess so.
I think we're good, yeah.
Okay. Thank you for listening to episode 78 of the Lifecast. This was a long one, and thank you guys for tuning in to actually record this thing.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. All right.
It was all right.
We're gonna go. All right. We'll be back next week, and we'll also have streams throughout this week.
Twitch.tv/thelifecastnet.
Oh, sayonara.
Farewell. Bye. A feeder zine.